You're back with Colorado Matters from CPR News. I'm Ryan Warner. What was your favorite toy as a kid? I was a Lego fanatic. An exhibit opening soon at History Colorado looks at toys as a barometer of culture. And in just a bit, we'll talk to a woman who helped put this show together. First, though, an archaeologist with History Colorado who unearthed a trove of toys. Thomas Carr was visiting his childhood home in North Carolina.
And there had been a particularly bad rainstorm that had washed out part of the backyard. It had just literally dug out a gully. And I spotted something that didn't look natural. And it looked familiar, and it was a piece of a plastic model, scale model, sticking up out of the ground. It had green and gray paint on it. And I recognized it. I recognized it as a toy model that I had buried there over 30 years earlier. And then I remembered I'd buried a whole bunch of models in the backyard. And I thought, they're all around here somewhere. I immediately realized that there was something important about this chance encounter of finding an archaeological site that I myself had created as a kid. I must have been like, you know, in my early to mid-teens. So I got everything out of the ground that I could. So the first thing was this model airplane. It's like a British bomber from the 1950s, 60s. And I was really into making model airplanes, model ships, science fiction models. But I found lots of things that had just been totally obliterated, where there were just pieces and parts. And I had to actually start looking at online assembly instructions for different models to try and start figuring out what they were, which was very much a kind of archaeological procedure for trying to identify what fragments of things are. I mean, there was the Titanic, there was the Bismarck, U.S. Forrestal aircraft carrier, and I realized that there were also a whole bunch of models that I hadn't gotten rid of, and I wondered where those were. So I went up in the attic, and they're all laying up there. So as a young teenager or tween in the 1970s, I think it was very common for boys to be expected to be interested in weapons of war. We were all told to be afraid of the Soviet Union and nuclear holocausts, you know. And so that was, I think, some of what I was responding to. And also just that gender role, you know, males are warriors. And kind of the traditional view in archaeology is that toys are meant to be ways to teach children how to take on roles. But they're also finding in study of archaeological sites, both in Native American and in colonial slave culture, is that toys and places where you find toys hidden were a form of protest on the part of children. I was like, oh my gosh, my blowing up things and, you know, destroying models was kind of a form of protest. I was the nerdy good kid. And my parents always had the perception that I was the good kid that never did anything wrong. But I was also the kid that blew up models in the backyard and used crushed up rocket motors to make big fiery explosions that were probably not terribly safe. And I think then the burying of it was the hiding of the evidence. So, and I hadn't thought of that. If I'd left this all these artifacts in place, they could have been an interesting archaeological site. But interestingly enough, the next year, my parents just obliterated that whole area. They built one of those summer rooms and landscaped all around it, and it would have all been gone.
Thomas Carr of History Colorado, talking about the archaeological discovery he made in his parents' backyard. That was in 2008. There's a slideshow of his excavation at cprnews.org. So his colleague Shannon Vorrell helped develop this exhibit of toys coming soon to History Colorado. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
The cynic in me, or perhaps the person in me who doesn't want to admit I'm old, says, is a toy like Simon, which you've brought here. Remember Simon? you know, where you would have, it's a memory game. Ask, you know, wonders, is this really history? Or are you just trying to sell tickets through nostalgia here?
Yeah, well, I think that nostalgia is a great place to start and to then look at our own personal histories and how our personal histories are reflected in larger history narratives. You just heard Tom talking about archaeology. I think what's so interesting is you go through the exhibit and you hear people say again and again, I had that. I had that. I wanted that. Hmm. And you start to think about the values that your parents had in choosing toys for you and your relatives had in choosing toys for you. And then you think about what was going on around you. What TV ads were you watching? And there's a big advertising component of what's in the exhibit. And you think about, you know, current events that were happening. The Vietnam War plays into the story of G.I. Joe and how G.I. Joe was incredibly popular for a couple years and then was yanked off the market after people were just so sick of the Vietnam War. So there's all these threads that start with the personal about me and my childhood that go to the family and that reach out into these larger historical narratives.
I see. So they are a connection to culture and what our, I suppose, cultural outlooks are. And this show, which opens very soon at History Colorado, is set up, I understand, into like living rooms. You're peering into people's homes.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. There are three living rooms, a 50s living room, 60s and 70s, and they are themed out beautifully. The 50s living room is all that sort of kitschy Dale Rogers 50s Western look. And the 60s and 70s are both modeled after Barbie dream houses. You can sit in these living rooms and watch TVs that have the ads of the time, and then you can play with the toys of the period. So again, it's that way of kind of starting from the personal and I had that and expanding outwards.
Speaking of ads, maybe folks would remember this one from the 1960s.
Oh, Chatty Cathy, oh, Chatty Cathy, oh, Mattel's famous talking doll. We pull the ring and you say 11 different things. Let's play house.
That's Chatty Cathy. She'll be on display and, she says, let's play house there. And of course, there's Barbie. We have to talk about Barbie and all of the cultural and, you know, baggage that she carries. A lightning rod for controversy, for sure, because of her somewhat improbable body proportions. But her creator grew up in Denver. Is that right?
Absolutely. It's really interesting. We kept hearing around the office, oh, Barbie's creator is a Denver girl. And she absolutely was. She went to East High School. Her husband, Elliot, went to North High School. You look at the Mattel website and you see pictures of Denver households. So it's definitely a Denver story. They moved to L.A. She developed Barbie. She also, with her husband, developed Mattel. His name is Elliot. That was the L in Mattel. And they built a huge, huge booming toy business. So it's very interesting, the Denver piece of that, but also the story that she bought the first ad in the Mickey Mouse Club. And so she's noted as one of the strongest businesswomen and just seminal decisions to buy $500,000 worth of advertising on the Mickey Mouse commercial or the Mickey Mouse show, which was a very big deal because at that time, toys were only advertised right before Christmas. Oh. So she made this huge decision, we're going to do this year round.
I suppose there are parents who are rueing her decision today because kids are bombarded with ads. Now.
Absolutely, yeah.
And this is a Ruth Handler, I'll say, who did say that, you know, she thought Barbie kept up with the times and that as women increasingly pursued careers, Barbie followed, you know, with Dr. Barbie and Astronaut
Absolutely.
Barbie.
Absolutely, yeah. She always said that Barbie gave girls choices. She was a very firm believer that Barbie opened doors for girls. Now, certainly there's a lot of commentary about not only the career piece, but the body proportions. And There are startup dolls that are very different from Barbie nowadays. So there's a lot of discussion around Barbie.
You are listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. And we're speaking with Shannon Vorrell, who's an exhibit developer for History Colorado. The Toys exhibit opens June 13th and runs through October 4th. And we're finding out how toys connect to culture. So you mentioned G.I. Joe as being reflective or not of the Vietnam War and people's feelings about it. I also noticed that there's a 1950s Alpha 1 ballistic missile toy in this collection. And, you know, it's nukes for kids.
Right.
I suppose also a reflection of the Cold War mindset.
Absolutely. There are some much more sort of specific guns and spy toys that were very big during the Cold War. And so that commentary back and forth about what are we interested in, what are we afraid of, it plays out in toys.
We are interested in what your favorite toys were. So why don't you connect with us on Twitter? We are at Colorado Matters. Tell us about that toy you just can't get enough of. You brought a Slinky with you.
I did.
Which speaks to the fact that there are just some toys that seem to never die. I mean, they truly are enduring. What are a few in the exhibit that have just been, you know, passed on through the generations?
Absolutely. Definitely Slinky is one of those. Simon, you asked me, are there still Simons around? Absolutely. Simon is innovating, and there are about three or four different kinds of Simons still on the market. Tinker Toys, Lincoln Logs, still played with. My five-year-old has them. You know, these, there are toys that just hang around. And while this exhibit is really about 50s and 60s and 70s toys, there are young folks on our staff who relate to all the toys in the exhibit. It's not just about boomers. They're like, oh, that toy was developed way back then?
It
absolutely.
Bridges the generations.
Absolutely.
So I noticed there are some cowboy and Indian toys in your collection. And, you know, I can imagine with controversy over American Indian team names like, you know, the Reds, the Redskins.
Yeah.
You know, these toys may be out of favor, certainly, with some parents. Is playing cowboys and Indians, is that a thing now?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Not in my kiddo's world.
Uh-huh.
And they even talk about sitting crisscross applesauce instead of sitting Indian style.
I see.
Yeah, I think there are probably some changes in that world.
You also have some Colorado-specific toys that are going on display. I'm not sure. I was aware that toys were created here, made here. What are some of those?
Well, for certain, toys before major manufacturing were created by parents. And so we have some beautiful toys that our curators are bringing out. There's a tractor and threshing machine made by the Inspaugh family. They were farmers during the Depression out on the plains. And this setup is beautiful. The belts move. It is like a little working tractor and thresher, and we're really excited to bring some of those things out. That's another theme that kind of runs through the exhibit and through our conversations is people making toys and even people playing with things that aren't traditional toys. You know, what did you play with? Paper airplanes. You know, it's
right,
play is so broad.
Pet rock.
Right. That's in the exhibit for sure.
That was actually sold, a pet rock?
Absolutely. Okay. It was a very big deal. And yeah.
Trying to market where you can, I suppose.
Right, right.
So the whole question of like digital and smartphone life these days makes a toy like Simon here to my side seem almost quaint.
Sure.
But you talk about kids today playing with toys that their parents might have played with. Even in the digital era, even if, you know, with Angry Birds, which I'm sure is like old-fashioned
old
now already.
Yeah, yeah, right, right, right. I think parents want to kind of relive their childhood. They have nostalgia about some of their toys. Maybe they really appreciate some simpler things and some simpler values. And kids respond to that. You know, kids still love making coffee, playing in kitchen, playing with blocks. They do those things naturally and spontaneously at the same time that they're interested in apps. Hasbro, I think it was just announced yesterday, just bought a new Boulder-based business that makes Dragon Vale, which is a very popular game. There's another Boulder-based company, Sphero, which makes these beautiful orbs that roll around and you program them from your smartphone. So toys, of course, are changing, but old favorites hang around.
What do you think this has taught you about yourself? I wonder if you've had any self-revelation.
Interesting. Interesting conversations with my mom around dolls and Barbies, particularly. And my mom was not a huge fan of Barbie, like I think a lot of women in her generation. And I kind of thought that it was unique to her. But reading about it, you know, she was born of the feminine mystique and she was, you know, kind of getting her legs as a woman during that time. And she wasn't in love with Barbie. And she kind of shared that with me in her quiet ways. And so it was interesting to have some conversations about how I really, really wanted one and all that sort of back and forth.
Well, to wrap up, what do you hope people walk out with when they go through this exhibit?
I think some great conversations with their family members, some thinking about what they buy for the kids in their lives, and just some fun. It's a really fun exhibit. We have a whole host of fun programs, and we just hope folks come down and have some fun.
Have some fun. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Shannon Vorrell is an exhibit developer for History Colorado. The Toys exhibit opens June 13th and runs through October 4th. We still welcome your tweets. What were your favorite toys at Colorado Matters? And you can see some of the toys we talked about at our website, cprnews.org. This is Colorado Matters from CPR News.